I'd like to start with a really good joke, but I don't know any. But I don't want you looking miserable on me. The thing that, I mean, it interests me that a few weeks before Christmas, when I was looking ahead to last Sunday and this Sunday, and I said this last week, didn't I? I felt God nudging me to talk about, last week to talk about the faithfulness of God, and this week to talk about God is good all the time. And it was only really as I started to sort it last week, I began to think those sorts of phrases, they're the sorts of phrases that are ever so comfortable when everything's going well. But when it's not, there's a challenge in them. But I do believe that even the praying we've just been doing and the praying we'll go on doing, the effectiveness of it in our own lives and in its touch point is determined by whether we believe it or not. And the truth is, God is good all the time. Now, I'll confess, there are certain phrases that get trotted out at churches like ours that irritate me slightly, and that was one of them. I used to think, you know, somebody says God is good, and people say all the time, and I'm thinking, yeah, well, of course he is. That's God. God is good. That's definition. But then the more I thought about it, the more I realized it is true, but unless I believe it's true, it's not effective. It's vital that I know at those times, because let's face it, I know some of you have looked around and you thought, that was a bit mean, God. You have sometimes, haven't you? You've sometimes seen something happen and you thought, God, that felt a bit mean. And some people I do know in this church would like God to be nicer. But if you read the Bible, he's not. You know, I'm always fascinated. You remember that time when Jesus invited Peter to walk on the water? And he did. And I always thought to myself, you know, a good teacher would say to him afterwards, well done, Peter. Didn't you do well? You've done your first five meter run. Try for a 10 meter next week. But actually what Jesus does when Peter said, you know, is what happened there then, Jesus says, well, you haven't got enough faith. Really encouraging. And I actually do believe that it's vital. Now, of course, you can't force yourself to believe God's good, can you? You can say all the words, but if there's something welling up inside you that says, yeah, but I wish he'd done it that way, well, you're going to have to live with that, because that will always happen. Because you will never quite line up. But the more you do get yourself lined up with who God is, and I'm more and more convinced that it is dependent on my view of him. And I prophesy that in this year we're going to see more tough stuff, actually. But out of it, God is strengthening who we are, because God has an objective and agenda for our communities, and he's using us to fulfill it. I wouldn't do it that way, standing here, said it before, but that's the way God is going to do it. And so I've resigned myself to the fact that this great bunch of people are God's answer, or part of God's answer for this area. And if so, well, let's do it well. And let me just read to you Psalm 100. I looked at a whole load of the passages where eventually it says God is good. This is a great one, this is. It's described in NIV as a psalm for giving grateful praise. Didn't you get me a glass of water? I've totally dried up. I don't know why. It's probably an excess of morphine. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now you can read that in so many different arenas. It was written as a psalm. It would have been declared in the temple. So the priests and the Levites would have been coming. There would be the musicians. There would be a shout for joy to the Lord. There would be constant worship. One of the important things about what we do is we worship the Lord with gladness. Thank you. And it says, know that the Lord is good. Know that the Lord is good. Be clear about it. It's a declaration point. It is He who made us and we are His. That's wonderful news, you know. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. God takes responsibility for you and me. He's opted. Have we chosen Him? Has He chosen us? Yes. There's something, but to be chosen by the living God, to be one of His followers, to know He's watching over us. And then this enter His gates with thanksgiving. Well, that would have been true of the temple. But actually, there's so many entries into His gates with thanksgiving. If you look at the bigger picture, you've got people like you and me, the Gentiles, ultimately welcomed and entered into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And this encouragement to give thanks, we must never stop giving thanks to God. We must never stop giving thanks to God and praising His name, because He is answering our prayers. We may not get the instant answer we're looking for when we want it, but God is on our case, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. In the past, you know, how have people reacted to God? Because I'm thinking of our community and how they're affected. Well, in the past, frankly, some people reacted to God out of fear. There was a huge pressure put upon people. There was a fear of hell. There was a fear of the effects of sin. Now, that's not there any longer with many people. In fact, most people would not even have sin on their agenda. For many people, the definition of how we behave is, well, I'll do what feels good to me, and provided it's not doing anybody else any harm, it's okay. That's the world view of acceptable behavior. But it's not God's worldview. It's not His way. Now, God is incredibly kind and generous. So, you know, most of us in this room, perhaps all of us in this room, well, let's say all of us in this room, there'll be something about us that God's still not quite satisfied with. There will be, won't there? And sometimes we're making choices that are unwise, and we keep on making them. And what does God do? Well, He keeps nudging us. He keeps reminding us. Does He push us away? No, He doesn't. Occasionally, He might hold us at arm's length purely because He wants us to be drawn to Him. But He will never push us away because, and yet, He's got His clarity about what He's looking for. People have their own personal questions about God. This is why sometimes it is difficult to say God is good. Because you've got the questions about classrooms of children being killed. You've got tsunamis. You've got all sorts of natural disasters happening. There seem to be more and more of them. And inevitably, people are saying, usually just to defend and to push away the question of God, but it's a genuine enough remark. People are saying, but I can't believe in a God who allows that and who does that. Now, I haven't got all the answers to those questions, and I'm certainly not embarking on that sort of thing this morning. But I still know God is good in all of this, all of the time. That's His nature. He's altogether righteous. Integrity is essential to God. God is also incredibly generous, constantly giving us what we don't deserve, and then most importantly, withholding from us what we do deserve. Because He is justice and truth. He cannot simply say, I will let that person off what they've done. He can't do that because of His own nature, because of His own sense of truth and righteousness. But He's found a way. He's provided a way. Jesus gave His life so that you and I can be forgiven, can be accepted. What an amazing way He's produced for us. And actually, in the truth, when you boil it down, it's not in my interest for God to be nice. It really isn't in my interest for God to be nice. I need God to sometimes say to me, Graham, that won't quite do. I wish He wouldn't, and I wish He'd do it more privately sometimes, but there are those things, aren't there? And as I was saying last week, because faith is the other thing. You know, God's saying to me, have you ever lived by faith, Graham? And I think, well, probably I have, God. But I know what you're leading up to, God. You want some more. And the truth is, at this point in time, in the same way as you've got this God is good, but there are these tough things happening, you've also got faith and reality side by side. How do you live with it? I found it very difficult. A friend of mine said last week, he said, it's a bit easier now, Graham. He said, you've looked so well for so long, I've not known what to pray for. But now I do. And I do. But there's the reality alongside faith. Because the truth is, as I said last week, A prophet said to me 2 years before I knew anything about this, you're going to face the biggest fight of your life and you'll win every round. I've got no proof of that. I can't test it out. In fact, at the moment, there are no indicators that are helping me at all. But I have to go there because where else can I go? But if the facts are still there, the numbers are still what they are. And actually, God said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Don't have to have huge amounts of faith to do it. You just got to have that bit that says, God, I do trust you. And to be honest, I am finding that, I know it might not look like it, but I'm finding that quite easy at the moment. I can trust God. I'm not quite sure what I'm trusting him for. And it's a bit uncomfortable. But I do know that God's on the case. Now, it's complicated because, you know, we've probably had 20 or 30 prescriptions in the last 2 weeks. We've had doctors changing their minds. There are various opinions out there, and we're not quite sure what's what. But I can't really get worked up about that because I still believe God's got stuff for me to do. And more importantly, he's got stuff for us to do. Let's not get tied down with just praying for me. I'd like it because I want to be free of this thing. But this is all to do with impelling us into seeing the kingdom of God extended. That's what it's all about. I've invited Steve Wendell to come and speak to us next week because a few months back, God began to stir him about the whole question of the kingdom of God and the bumping together of two kingdoms, two powers. And I know he's got hold of something and I know he's seen some things happen because of it. So I've asked him to come and I've asked him to talk to us and that will launch some things for us. Because the kingdom of God is what really matters right now. And in a sense, it's the kingdom of God that is overwhelming my situation. That's what will make the difference. That's what will make the difference. It's not just a little touch from God. It's his kingdom. Because Jesus came and said, I've come to declare the kingdom of God. And what we're going to expect to see when the kingdom comes, it's that increasing sense of God's control of things, not in the wrong sense, but in the right sense, people doing things God's way, and then seeing. Jesus said it clearly, the blind healed, the deaf, the dead raised even. It's signs of the kingdom, it's signs of the kingdom that overcome the negative stuff. It's the signs of the kingdom that overcome cancer cells that are doing what they shouldn't do. And so, I just want to commend that. Matt's going to just talk a bit about some of the vision things that we have in the ops team talked about. I'm going to leave him to do that because I might make a mess of it. But I'm just reminding us that Hebrews 11 starts this. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. It's confidence about what we hope for. That has to be a gift from God. It has to be a gift from God. So you begin, God begins to show you where he's going. And you get a sense of what you're hoping for, but then God begins to bring faith into it. So you can actually believe for it. There's a now and not yet thing. It's almost like out there, if I could just grasp it from the heavens, I could make it happen here. And in the same way, that second phrase, what we hope for, and assurance about what we don't see. I'm told that's a legal word, which gives the impression of when a really good barrister paints such a brilliant picture to the jury, that the jury can actually see what happened despite the fact they weren't there. And the picture's so clear that the jury are utterly convinced that was it, that's how it happened. And it's like that. God is beginning, I believe, to give us glimpses of what he will do and can do, and we catch sight of it, but we've not seen it.